Welcome everybody back this afternoon. I'm glad that you can be here with us once again to worship our God. As Nolan mentioned, this is the fourth Sunday of the month. It's a time we have in this afternoon to consider to sing some hymns, kind of give ourselves to singing more so than we would in a normal service. And kind of what has become our custom is on these I won't say a full sermon time slot, but in this opportunity to be able to study God's Word, we've been considering hymns. Last time, we considered a hymn where it was inspired by the psalmist as he was speaking to his soul. "Be still, my soul," was the hymn we considered. And we considered this dialogue between, if you could have a discussion with your soul, what would you say? What kind of things would you describe and bring up to it to encourage, basically encourage yourself? This morning, we talked about the importance of using our time wisely and to really come to terms with the fact that we have a finite time on this earth. So when you think about a prayer to God, and many of our hymns are indeed, that's what they are, they're prayers. It's us speaking to God, in essence singing these prayers, these hymns to God. So if you think about what our discussion was this morning, our study on time and on the importance of realizing that I have to be ready, no matter when it may be, for my time to be up on this earth, then what might be a natural prayer that you might say to God as a result of that understanding, of knowing that you're not guaranteed the rest of today, much less tomorrow? There's a hymn in our psalm book. It's a very old hymn. It was actually written back in the mid-1800s. Many of us grew up singing this hymn, "Abide with Me." This hymn is really a prayer that as we sing it, we're really speaking to God. And it is a request that given the things that we see on this earth, given the things we know that we've gone through and will go through, please be with us. And we're going to notice this hymn. We're going to go through each verse of number 74 in our psalm book and consider what these words have for us so that when we sing it, we'll have our minds prepared and understanding, especially given the context, is looking at our lives as a whole, understanding the finite nature of our lives. Verse 1 reads, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." This first verse describes the night, and this certainly, there's the literal night, but it's more of a metaphorical eventide. It says, "Fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide." This darkness, it can be literal darkness, but it's more of a metaphorical darkness. When times are difficult, when there's difficulties going through the life, that's when other helpers fail and comforts flee. When everything's kind of a struggle, when everything's kind of a hurdle, when it seems like maybe those who are looking for my downfall, kind of like as in the Psalms of David, he's acknowledging, he's seeing his enemies surrounding him, he calls on the Lord for help. Notice how our hymnist says, when other helpers fail. All the other helpers that we have are men, people, and you know, people, even our brethren, we're human. Sometimes we want to help and we can't. But what happens is our hymnist calls on the help of the helpless. Because in the end, none of us has any power in this world to change anything. All we can do is call upon God to help us. And he calls on God to help him. In Psalm 37, in the Psalm of David, David says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way. He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. This is in essence what our hymnist is bringing up in this verse. So as we sing, when we sing verse 1, we remind ourselves that in this life there's going to be eventide times. Times where things are growing darker. Times where we might be afraid. Times where we feel those who might seek us harm, might wish us ill will. Maybe they're rejoicing when troublesome times come in our lives. That's when we remind ourselves, and of course at all times, but as our hymnist is bringing up, abide with me. Abide with me in these times. Be my strength. And it's, of course, a reminder to ourselves that we must trust in him. In the second verse of our hymn, verse 2 of number 74, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Once again, this acknowledgement of the finite nature of life and the recognition that swift to its close ebbs out life's little days. It seems like time just keeps on passing by. And before we know it, we might have fewer years ahead of us than we did have behind us. Change and decay. And all around I see. Seems like the older we get, perhaps the more we observe, the more we see in friends and neighbors and loved ones, maybe people who at one time even were faithful Christians who have fallen away. Oftentimes, the longer you live, the more opportunity for sorrow you have. Because you see things that decay. You see people decay. You see societies decay, sometimes even nations decay. And as a result, you look around you and you realize just how little control you have over anything in this life. And that's when the hymnist encourages us, O thou who changest not, abide with me. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 16, in a context in which Paul is discussing trials and persecutions, he says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Even though our outward man is decaying, we're renewed day by day. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment. Notice how Paul, he could have been under persecution for 50 years, and he still would have called it our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice the contrast between the persecution, which is short in nature, and light. Our light affliction that is for a moment, contrasted with the reward, what it's working for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight, something that is more valuable. And certainly eternity compared to this for a moment. It's the contrast of the physical and the spiritual. The physical trials, and in this case persecutions, versus what is to come if we endure. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. These things are temporary. Change and decay in all around I see. Earth joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Because time, rust, decay, it happens to everything that is of the flesh. Everything that is physical eventually decays. O thou who changest not, abide. There is one, only one thing we can count on in this universe. One thing. And that's God. One thing where there, the rules that have been established, He will always be. The character He has shown, He will always be. Think about the consistent nature of Jehovah, going all the way back to Genesis, and read all the way through Revelation, and see the constant, consistent character of God. He doesn't change. What He has required of His people, while the specifics of the laws have changed from the patriarchal to the mosaical to Christ, the character of His people has always been the same. What He has expected of them, the just shall live by faith. That has always been the case. Malachi chapter 3, which our hymnist is alluding to here in verse 2 of our hymn. Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 6. In a context after which God has already condemned the people, He's condemned the priests. They're not doing what God wants them to do. And then He says in verse 6, "For I am the Lord." And as the King James says, "I changeth not." I changeth not. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Ordinarily He would destroy them. But because He doesn't change, He is faithful to His promises, He will keep the sons of Jacob. He will retain, keep a remnant available of the sons of Jacob because He doesn't change. He made a promise to Abraham and He's going to hold fast to that promise. Even though His descendants have forsaken Him, have not been serving Him the way that they should, "I'm the Lord, I don't change." That's why you're being spared. And our third verse of our hymn number 74. Third verse of our hymn number 74. "I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through clouds and sunshine, O abide with me." If verse 1 describes the times where we're facing the unknown, the darkness, times of fear, times of trouble and trial. And if verse 2 is focused on the observation that everything is finite, everything changes in this world except for God, then verse 3 is focusing, as I'm serving God, there's always that tempter waiting, trying to throw stumbling blocks in my way to cause me to fall and not serve my God. That's why he calls on God, "I need your presence every passing hour." Why do I need his presence? Because your grace can foil the tempter's power. Nothing else can. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like you, my guide and stay can be? Relying on you, making sure I'm following you, making sure that you are my guide through clouds and sunshine, through happy times, through sad times, through times of ease, through times of trouble. Oh, abide with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, Paul writes to the Corinthians, having said earlier in verse 12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." He goes on to say in verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will give you a way of escape." God is faithful. His grace, relying on Him, on His Word, that can foil the tempter's power. In Psalm 73 and in verse 21, Psalm 73, and in verse 21, the psalmist says, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." Our psalmists recognize, "You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory." He knows what the promise of God is. He knows what's coming for those who are faithful. "Whom in heaven have I but you?" He says in verse 27, "There are those who are far from you, they'll perish. But it is good for me to draw near to God." He put his trust in God. And that certainly is applicable in times not just of darkness, of fear, of the unknown, things that may come, we're worried about this, we're worried about that, but also in times where we're facing trial, temptation, we're facing the human elements that might cause us to falter and fall away from serving God. Notice what our psalmist says. He says, "There is none upon the earth I desire besides you." The last verse of Psalms of our hymn, hymn 74. I know in our psalm book there's only three, but that wasn't always the case. Those of you who remember the sacred selections, there are actually four verses to this hymn. I don't know why. I think maybe for brevity's sake, they took out the fourth verse in the newest edition. But I really like this last verse. Verse 4 reads, "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me." It's a proper concluding thought to our hymn. Because in essence, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, it's the recognition of life as a whole. And all of the times that we need God, which is all the time, verse 4 kind of brings it to a close. The recognition of when this life is over, after I have served God faithfully, hold thou the cross before my closing eyes. That's what I'm looking to. Paul, when he would write to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 14, he says, "If I am to glory, I will glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." Hold thou the cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. That recognition, that understanding that when we are raised one day, we will join Christ in the air and always be with Him after judgment. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. It'll all be over one day. All this is but for a moment, as Paul mentioned earlier in 2 Corinthians 4. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. In Psalm 48 and in verse 12, our psalmist says, "Walk about Zion. Go all around her and count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, O God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 13, Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Our psalmist is looking forward to that day. He's looking forward to that moment where he rises, O Lord, in death, in life. That moment when he is risen from the dead. He's looking forward to that time of being pointed to the skies, heaven's morning breaks. That time where eternity is now at hand. The last passage for you this afternoon. The passage in our songbook that is used as a reference, as a source of inspiration, whatever you want to call it. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, as he gives the Great Commission, we see in verse 18, as he comes to the apostles, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Now notice this last part. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The end of the age hasn't ended yet. It's still going. We're in the last age. We're in the last times. But the age hasn't concluded. When Jesus said this to the apostles, he's not just saying it to the apostles who would survive another 40 or 50 years and then die. But as we apply the Great Commission to all of us, not just the apostles, but to every Christian, to go teaching people and baptizing them, we also recognize that Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always." Our request to God, "Abide with me." God's answer, "I am with you always." That's the lesson for you this afternoon. If you'll open up your songbooks, number 305, we'll offer the invitation to those who are not Christians to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. He is calling. Will you answer? For those of us who are Christians, let's remember always when we pray, when we sing hymns, to remind ourselves that we're talking to the great creator of the universe. He who was, is, and will always be. So when you ask him, "Abide with me," understand he will grant that request. "I will always be with you." But we must be faithful to him. We must let him be our guide. We must put our trust in him. The lesson is yours. If you're subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing. There is a